All right. A lot going on, friends. A lot going on. Except for the front row. There's nothing going on in that front row. That is amazing. Hello. So good to be back with you all. If we haven't met yet, hi. My name is Amin. I'm one of the pastors on staff here at Pacific Coast Church. My primary focus is for our online community. Hello, online community. So glad that you are here with us. And my heart and my desire is that with our online community, just like with all of you, that we would provide pathways for you to find meaningful connection and community. That we would find pathways for you to find meaningful connection and community. Because I believe that we grow spiritually when we are connected relationally. That's how we grow. We grow spiritually when we are connected relationally. And that's going to be at the heart of what we talk about this morning. And as I was studying and preparing for our time today, I was kind of reminded of a bit of my childhood. I grew up in this little town called Visalia, California. Sure, wow, the laughs are concerning. You know. Just between Fresno and Bakersfield off the 99, and in fact, for those of you who sent any students off to Hume Lake today, they are going to get a nice view of Visalia as they exit on out and make their ways up to camp in the Sequoias. So, good job, Visalia. That's where I grew up. My parents were always doing something around the house. They always had something going on around the house. And what my dad would do, he would always invite my brother and I to come along with him as he was doing things. Now, whether it was changing the oil in the car, whether it was building a fence, whether it was gardening, whether it was building an addition to our house, my dad would always call my brother and I to come and spend time with him. And as we started getting older, we could start helping my dad. So one day he took us to Lumberjack. I don't know if you guys remember Lumberjack. Now it's all Home Depots and Orchards, but Lumberjack. And Lumberjack had these tool belts for kids, these little cloth things that we could wear and wrap around ourselves. So we grabbed our tool belts, we wrapped them around, put some snacks in there, and then whatever my dad was working on, if he needed a wrench, I had a wrench. If he needed nails, I had some nails for him. So we'd help out a little bit. We got a little bit older, and now we could work with my dad a little bit. We would hold a piece of wood as he cut it, and he would teach us how to hold it so we don't splinter it, but we have a smooth cut. He would teach us how to garden so we can grow the tomatoes upright and they don't go all over the place, right? And then finally, we got to high school. And now my brother and I, we had marching orders. Now it was our turn to go and do stuff. So we'd go water the plants and not overwater them and not underwater them. We would work on parts of the house and he would come around and he would inspect and check and give us more instructions. And then you fast forward 15 years and my wife and I, Michelle, we bought our first house and what do? We start doing things in the house. We start working in our backyard. We plant a garden. We plant fruits and vegetables and lemon trees and lime trees. We built a fence. We built a deck out. And I don't think there's anything that gives my parents more excitement than when they come to our house and they look at our house projects. They look at the things we're doing. They give us advice on our garden because our tomatoes cannot grow like their tomatoes. But they take such pride and joy in it. And I was reminded of that story and kind of how my dad cared for my brother and I and how he showed us things. And as I look at the Gospels, and I see how Jesus moved towards people, how he connected with people, how he showed love and compassion and care and brought people together and how he sent people out, I see so much of that same heart. This morning, our message is titled Marching Orders. And what we're gonna look at together is what Jesus calls us to. What Jesus calls us to. We're gonna begin in the book of Mark, chapter 3. If you have a Bible and you wanna follow along, I encourage you to do so. We're gonna jump around a little bit in the New Testament today. Of course, the verses are on the screen as well, so you can just look at that. But we're gonna begin in Mark, chapter 1. And what I love about Mark is it is often called an action gospel. Mark is on the move. Mark doesn't waste time in the weeds. Matthew will spend chapters on genealogy and the birth of Jesus. Mark is like, I'm good. I want to talk about Jesus in action. So even by the 16th verse of chapter 1, we see Jesus has begun his public ministry and he is off to the races. And so we're going to pick up the story there. Mark chapter 1, verse 16 says this. Passing alongside the Sea of Galilee, he saw Simon and Andrew, the brother of Simon, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen. And Jesus said to them, follow me, and I will make you become fishers of men. And immediately they left their nets and they followed him. And going on a little further, he saw James, the son of Zebedee, and John, his brother, who were in their boat mending their nets. And immediately he called them, and they left their father Zebedee in the boat with the hired servants and followed him. The first thing that we see Jesus call us to is to be with him. Jesus calls us to be with him. Now, that is such a simple and yet profound reality and truth, right? Because it sounds so simple. Jesus said, just come and follow me. But what we are saying is that the king of the universe, the God who created the heavens and the earth and every living thing in it, that God wants to spend time with you. That God knows you, that he sees you. He's concerned for you. He's paying attention to you. And not the you that shows up in church, dressed nice, looking nice, calm, a little coffee in you. No, no, he's pursuing the mess of you, the chaotic you, the broken you, the you that turns from him and runs from him. That's the you that the God of the universe is pursuing and saying, hey, come be with me. Come spend time with me. I want a relationship with you. See, this is a profound truth of who God is and what his heart is, that I want to know you. And yet for us sitting here today, I think we know that even in our lives every day that this isn't so easy. That there are challenges to being with Jesus on a regular basis. There's complications, there's things that get in the way, there's distractions. And even in these few verses in Mark, I love that Mark leans into it and gives us a bit of a picture of that reality. Because I think so often for us, when we read some of these stories in the Bible, we can begin to think of these people as these one-dimensional characters. And we forget that these are real people that lived in a real place at a real time with families and responsibilities and lives and futures. And what the picture we get from this story is that all four of these guys were fishermen. And at this time, if you were a fisherman, by and large, you stepped into the family business. These guys weren't home from college in the summer trying to get a job. No, they were stepping into their livelihood. They didn't go from career to career. They were lucky to have one job, one career, one role, to step into the job that's provided for you so that you would provide for generations to come. That was their life. And for James, then, John is almost a step further because it even points out that his father was there with the hired men, that they had servants. They were successful. And yet it says that all four of these guys dropped their nets to go and follow Jesus. That in that moment, they were willing to drop what was known to them, their lives, their futures, how they would provide for themselves, how they'd provide for their families. They were willing to let go what they knew and step into the unknown, to take a risk, to go and follow Jesus. And it's not because Jesus gave them the playbook. All right, this is what's gonna look like. Here's your return on investment. Follow me for a few years. I'll give you your own business. No, Jesus says, just come and be with me. Spend time with me. And there was something about Jesus that drew these men forward to say, I'm gonna take a step of faith. And I'm gonna walk away from what I know to step into what I don't know. See, it can be hard. It can be challenging. And yet what I love about Jesus is he doesn't leave us there alone. See, every invitation Jesus gives us to come and follow him is immediately followed by an invitation to step into community. Every invitation Jesus has for us to come and to follow him and be with him is also an invitation to community. He drew these guys together and says, come and follow me and be with each other. He was building this community around himself. See, community is at the heart of everything Jesus was doing here on earth. And just look at how he modeled it. Jesus didn't spend 30 years in the wilderness and then show up and said, all right, it's time. Let's start the public ministry. No, Jesus chose to be born into a family. Think about that. He had parents. He had siblings. He lived and spent time and worked in and amongst the community that he would then begin ministering into. He was with people. And what does he do as soon as he starts his public ministry? He calls people towards them. He builds community. I think one of the things that we can so often do in our lives is overemphasize the individual call Jesus has in our life. And I'll unpack that. We can overemphasize the individuality of the call Jesus has in our life. Is there an individual call? Yes. Yes, yes, yes. Jesus calls us, calls you, he knows you, he knows you, he pursues you. Yes, there's an individual call Jesus has for that. But we can find ourselves leaning so much into it that it becomes just about us and Jesus. Well, this is my relationship with Jesus, and it's personal, and it's me, and it's just me and him, and I don't need anybody else, and everything else is extra or supplemental. So if I have time, I might do it, but really it's just about me and Jesus, and that's all there is. And when we walk with that heart, we lose sight of the fullness of what Jesus is asking us to step into. Because yes, come and be with me and be with others. See, this is at the heart of what Jesus was trying to do. And so what does this look like in our life? How do we live out this reality of being people that come and spend time with Jesus, both alone and together? Well, this is a good example. Sundays. Sundays are an opportunity for us to pursue Jesus through worship, through prayer, through time in the Word together, right? Sunday is an opportunity for us to do this and to be growing in our faith because we're here pursuing Jesus and doing it alone and together in community. The challenge becomes Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday, and Thursday, and Friday, and Saturday. And the question is, what does that look like for your life? How is the pursuit of Jesus, your pursuit of him through scripture and worship and prayer look like on Wednesday? What does it look like on Friday? Because if we've over-individualized our relationship with Jesus and it's personal, it's just me and him and me and him, then what can often happen in our lives is our only time to be with Jesus happens on the Sundays we can happen to make it to church, and otherwise not really. And what helps us be people that move towards Jesus on a regular basis, what helps keeps us moving that direction, because it is difficult and it can be challenging, is community. Because what community provides for us is accountability and encouragement. Community provides accountability and encouragement in our pursuit of Jesus. And let me give you an example from this last week. This last week, I started my first online grow group. Very excited. 5 o'clock Wednesdays. Online community, plenty of room for you. We'd love to have you join us. And as we met this last Wednesday, we talked about our goals. What are some wins for us this summer through this grow group? What do we want to achieve? And every single person, myself included, shared this reality. I want to be better about being in scripture on a regular basis. When I am a part of a grow group, when I am part of community, when I lead small groups, when I am a part of small groups, I am so much better about being in scripture on a regular basis. When I'm not a part of that, I struggle. I don't know why. It's always been true of me. I've led groups for the last 17, 18 years of my life. My entire role at my last church was leading community life, leading groups, discipleship. I was really good at being in the Word during those seasons. And for the last 9 months, I have not been part of a group. And guess what fell away? My time in scripture. And every person shared a reality of that. And one of our goals through that season is gonna be, let's keep each other encouraged and accountable to being in the Word on a regular basis. See, community does that for one another. This is what it looks like to be walking with others in the call of Jesus. So my question for all of you is, what community are you a part of that's helping keeping you accountable and encouraged as you seek to spend time with Jesus? And not only who's pouring into you, what community are you pouring into? What people are you pouring into to help keep them accountable and encouraged? not because we're perfect and we have it figured out. No, because we're all in process. We don't give encouragement and accountability because our lives are all put together. We do it from a place of process, that we want to be encouragement as I seek to grow myself. Because we can choose to do it alone. We can choose to remain anonymous. We can choose to be disconnected from others. Or we can choose to take a step forward and say, I'm going to take a risk. I'm going to lean out because I want to be someone that is answering the call of Jesus to be with him. The first thing that Jesus calls us toward is to be with him. The second thing that Jesus calls us to is to become like him. Jesus desires that we become like him. This is about transformation. This is the work of the Holy Spirit. This is conforming into the image of who Jesus is. That is the call of our life, to be with him and then become like him, which again is this incredible reality that is how Jesus sees us, that we could be people in the midst of our brokenness and failures and sin that are called to step up and to become like him in this world. I love how Paul articulates this in his letters, because Paul does such a beautiful job, better than I can do right now. Paul does a beautiful job of reminding us first what our identity is. Paul always begins his letters by reminding us first of what our identity is, which is so important because we can so quickly lose sight of it. Follow me, if you will, to the book of Ephesians chapter 1, or you don't have to, it'll be on the screen. I want to give you just a couple verses of Paul helping share this reality. Ephesians 1, verse 3, he says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places, even as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and blameless before him." That's just a snippet. That's just a few of the verses. Paul's reminding us that you are pure and holy and blameless and chosen, that you've been given every spiritual blessing, that there's nothing God is withholding from you. That's your identity. See, community is there to help remind us of who we are. Because what happens to me when I find myself isolated from community is I begin to believe lies about who I am. And here's some of those lies. My identity is my sin. It's my brokenness, it's my shame, it's my failures, it's my past, it's my disappointment, it's my discouragement. It's all the ways I messed up last week. That's my identity. And we start going down that road. And yet community is there to remind us that's not who you are. Because of the work that Jesus did on the cross, this is your identity. This is who you are. A son and daughter of Jesus, holy, pure, blameless. You've been given everything by him. So we're reminded what our identity is. And then Paul says, okay, now live it out. Live out what is already true of you. In Ephesians 4, he gives them a bit of what that looks like. "I, therefore, a prisoner for the Lord, urge you to walk in a manner worthy of the calling to which you have been called, with all humility and gentleness, with patience, bearing with one another in love, eager to maintain the unity of the Spirit and the bond of peace." Live it out. Live out your identity, your real identity. And I love that everything Paul says here happens in the context of community. Because if I'm isolated, if I'm in the cabins, in the woods by myself, it's really easy to do these things, right? I have plenty of patience for myself. I have all the grace in the world for myself, all the forgiveness. I am completely unified with myself, no issues. The problem becomes when I step into community and people test my patience and I find it challenging. And now we don't have unity in everything. No, the only thing you and I have in common is Jesus. Well, now I just step into what that looks like and what that means. This is how we grow in conforming to become more and more like Jesus. It doesn't happen individually. I don't become better at forgiving if I never have to forgive anyone but myself. I become better at forgiving when I'm in places where I need to both seek and receive forgiveness in my life. This is how we become more and more like Jesus. And a part of where that happens is in these things we call grow groups. In-person people, I know, grow groups are on break right now. They're coming back in the fall. We have more things for you coming up. But this is what groups are for. This is what community is for. Because these are the places where we are there to help keep each other accountable and encourage as we walk through this life. Because if we don't put these things in practice in our real life, guess what they become? Nice little sayings, platitudes. Sundays are fortune cookie messages for you. Yeah, I should have more patience. That sounds great. Now I'm gonna walk, I'm gonna go home, I'm gonna go on for the rest of my life. In community is where we flesh this out. That I need to have more patience. Okay, here's what's going on. I'm about to go with my in-laws on vacation for the next week. Guess who's gonna need patience? Me. That's a true story. My wife will be at second service, so this is great. That's where I need patience. That's where I'm gonna need help. That I'm supposed to have unity, but I'm struggling with a coworker. Not true. I love everyone on our staff. I'm supposed to practice compassion and forgiveness, but I'm struggling with a family member. Now, how does this play out and what does this look like in my life? See, we go from these cute little truths to the reality that Jesus is calling us into, to become more and more like him in this world. And that is hard to do alone. We need others to remind us of who we are because we're gonna mess up. I'm gonna fail this week with my in-laws, but it's okay because I have people encouraging me, helping me, keep me accountable, praying for me. So when we stumble, when we fall, when we fail, they're there to pick us up and remind us your identity isn't in that failure, it's who you are in Christ, and we continue moving towards progress, not perfection. How do we live out these truths? How do we continue growing to become more and more like Jesus every day of our lives? So for you, where is the community that you're a part of that's helped keeping you accountable and encouraged as you seek to become more like Jesus in your life? Jesus calls us to be with him. He calls us to become like him. The last thing Jesus calls us towards is to now do the very things he was doing on this earth. That's our marching orders. We're with him, we become like him, and now we go out. See, this was there from the very beginning, and I kind of glossed over it on purpose in Mark, but if we go back to Mark chapter 1, as he calls his disciples, did you catch what he said in verse 17? Follow me, and I will make you become fishers of men. Oh, so there's a purpose. In Mark chapter 3, Jesus begins calling those who become the 12 disciples, the 12 apostles. And he says this, he went up on the mountain and called to him those he desired, and they came to him. And he appointed 12, whom he also named apostles, so they might be with him, and he might send them out to preach and have authority to cast out demons. See, there's a purpose to all this. Our lives are not our own. This isn't an individual reality for us. No, Jesus is calling us to step into the fullness of what he has for us, and that is expressed through community and others. That's how we grow to be with him. That's how we grow to become more like him. And thankfully, that's how we step out into this world together. There's a beautiful place in Luke chapter 9. This will be the last place we go to this morning. For those of you tired turning all these pages of the Bible. Luke chapter 9. In Luke 9, Jesus is sending out the 12 apostles. And he's going to send them out ahead of him. And he's got specific instructions for them. I want to read those to you. And he called the 12 together and gave them power and authority over all the demons and to cure diseases. And he sent them out to proclaim the kingdom of God and to heal. It's a big task. And he said to them, take nothing for your journey. No staff, nor bag, nor bread, nor money, and do not have two tunics. God forbid. And whatever house you enter, stay there and from there depart. And he goes on and on. And in Luke chapter 10, he sends out the 72 now, more followers of his, exact similar instructions. But we notice he sends them out together, right? Two by two by two by two into this world. Why? In Luke chapter 10, he's even clearer about some of the reasons. He goes, I'm sending you out like sheep among wolves. Cool, thanks, Jesus. Because he knows it's going to be difficult. He knows it's going to be challenging. He knows not everyone is going to receive them and be like, oh, I'm so glad you're here. This is great. No, they're going to face opposition and discouragement and distraction and hurt and pain. They're going to stumble and fall. And so what happens when we're with others, we pick each other up. We support each other. We encourage one another. We make sure we don't have any blind spots as we seek to do the work he's calling us into. And why do we go together? Well, because together we begin to display to the rest of the world the reality that Jesus called us into. To be a community that reflects the light of Jesus back into this world. That's the mission statement. That's what we're called to go do. To make Jesus known by reflecting his light back out into the world. How to reflect his light? Well, we become the type of community that lives out the truths of who he is back out into this world. So when we go out together, guess what we do? We show each other compassion and grace and forgiveness and encouragement. We serve one another. We sacrifice one another. And when we go out with that posture, what happens? Well, this looks different than how the rest of the world seems to operate. There's something different about this community of people who are going out in Jesus' name. They act different. They treat each other different. They serve differently. And in that way, we have the opportunity to make Jesus known. That what compels us to do this, though not perfectly, what compels us to do this is that we know Jesus. And we understand what he's called us towards. To becoming the type of people that are with him, that become like him. And then together we go out to display him back out into this world. That in this darkness, we can provide a light. And so we go out, two by two, hopefully more than that, four by four, eight by eight, community by community, church by church, grow group by grow group, we go back out into this world. These are our marching orders. So the question for you all, you know it, what community are you a part of? This providing accountability and encouragement for you as you seek to be with Jesus, to become like Jesus, and to go out and do the things that he's called us to do. And if you're sitting here today and you're like, I've got that community, hallelujah, I hope you do, then what does your community look like as you step out together? And who around you doesn't have the type of community that you need to bring along and bring in with you? You've got it, great. Who else needs it? And if you're sitting here today and you're like, I don't have that type of community. I've been going about this alone. It's been about me and Jesus. I'm doing the best I can, but I recognize more and more that I don't live this out perfectly because it's really hard. And I need some others in my life. What steps will you take today to begin building connections and communities, either in this room or if you're online? Will you choose to remain anonymous, which you can? No one's gonna force you. Or will you choose to take a risk and step out and be known? You heard the announcements today. This is the summer to connect. Beach days, bonfires, camps, block parties, women's events, men's events. There's no shortage of opportunities this summer for all of you to go and be connected. Because it's not about the beach, and it ain't about the bonfire, and it's not about the dinner, although all those things are nights. These are all places for you to go and get connected, for you to step in and say, I want to be known. And it's places for you to go and connect with others and invite them into your world. Because someone once did that for you. Because someone once invited you in. and help walk alongside you. So how do we live that out with others? Because the beautiful truth is this, that there is a God of the universe. As we step out of this room and we see the sun and the heat and the clouds and the trees and the ocean, there's a God of the universe who created all of that. And he desires a relationship with you. And he pursues you and pursues you and pursues you so that you would come and be with him and become like him. And then through that, change the world. Will you pray with me? Father, I just always am reminded of Paul's words. While we were still far away, while we were still sinners, Jesus, you went to the cross for us. You don't wait until we're perfect. You don't wait till we figure it all out. You don't wait till we're nice and dressed. No, Jesus, you come to us in our brokenness and our shame. You come to us when we have our backs turned to you. You come to us as we run away from you, Father. You pursue and pursue and pursue and pursue. Jesus, we thank you that you're a God that came down. We're thanking you that you are a God that came to this earth to walk and live amongst us, Father. I thank you you're a God that pursues us, Father. You're a God that draws near. You're a God that desires relationship, God. I thank you, Father, that there's nowhere we can run that's too far for you, Father, that you pursue and you never let go, no matter how many times we have. And Father, I pray for this community in this room, online, Father, I pray for this community that we would find meaningful connections with one another, God, that we would even right now find the confidence and the boldness through you to take a step and say, hey, I wanna be known. I wanna take a next step. I wanna get plugged in, Father. For no other reason than so we can better live out the calling you have for us. Father, I pray that this community would be marked by you, Lord, that we would step out of this place, and even this week as we go off into the world, Father, into our neighborhoods and communities and into our jobs and all the other things we have, Father, that people would know you through this community, Father, that we would reflect and shine your light back into this world, God, that we would seek to have humility and patience and compassion and forgiveness, Father, that we would serve people in a supernatural way, God, that would only lead people to ask one question: what is it about this community? And our answer simply would be this: we're loved by Jesus. Father, I thank you for this group. Father, I thank you for our time together. Father, I thank you for your presence with us. Lord, we love you. Amen. Amen. Have a great Sunday. See you soon.